Moncrief on News Talk.
Given what she does for a living, it's a wee bit ironic that Jessie Buckley grew up in a house without a TV until she was a teenager. But perhaps not being glued to the box was what fueled her creativity. The former head of the Tories, Rishi Sunak, a multimillionaire, once tried to make himself relatable by revealing that he didn't grow up with Sky TV. The horror. Henry McKean ventured out to find people who were similarly disadvantaged. Good afternoon, Henry.
Good afternoon, Sean. And you're right. I mean, the horror. Not having Sky. Could you imagine in the 90s not having Sky?
God, poor Richie.
Well, this is it. And he was trying to be relatable. But there is someone else who didn't have a TV growing up, and that is my wife, Helen. And she's, you know, not coming on the radio. She doesn't do radio.
Okay.
But growing up, she says, as an adult, I'm grateful for it. At the time, it was like an awful secret. I was petrified. People would discover and judge me. And it's so true. I mean, like, she had to, like, talk to her brothers and sisters and read books. And I think it's really benefited her not having TV.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people...
But was it, you know, the way, like, kids go into school and they talk about what was on the TV the night before?
Oh, you'd have to sort of pretend that it would be really tough. I mean, especially in the 80s, you had EastEnders and you had Neighbours, you had Top of the Pops and other big shows. You would have definitely been, you know, missing out, and it would have been really hard.
So how did Helen get around that?
She just went to friends' houses now and again, or just make it up and go, yes, I saw that show. Yes,
I love Bananarama, that kind of thing.
Well, yeah. She did love Bananarama.
Well, there you go.
But, and you know,
I don't know how she ever got to hear them, though.
Well, radio, she listened to the radio. She She listened to all the different pop channels.
Yeah.
So there was other ways of, you know, or buying, you know, Smash Hits and all those magazines to get the information that way.
Yeah.
They were allowed to have magazines, pop magazines.
To read things.
Yeah. Yes.
You see, yeah, and it's just then, I suppose, like, oh, well, they feel left out. But I don't know, kids would probably accept if somebody doesn't have a TV.
No, you're right. And now it's so hard because there's YouTube and there's so many different fractured streaming networks. And if you took them all away, the kids would find something else to do. They just would, because they'd have to. They'd go out and kick a ball about, or they would play Lego, or talk to each other, play old-fashioned games.
Yeah.
You know?
I suppose, yeah, the modern equivalent is, oh, I don't have a screen.
Well, absolutely. Or I don't have a smartphone. But yeah, we actually put this to people. We met this couple from North Wicklow, Aidan and Claire.
My mum had an old box record player. We used to fight over it, whoever could play their favourite records.
So just the record player?
Record player, yeah.
Well, I was part of a large family. There was 9 of us. So, we would have had one record player downstairs for the whole family, so you know everyone had to take their turns.
And you just got on with it.
You didn't get your first sort of cassette player till you were about 18 or whatever, till you earned your own few bob.
So you had to buy your own cassette player.
You would have had to, don't you? It would have been a big purchase.
We never felt we were without. We didn't have all the commodities. We had fields, we had the countryside. We used to go out, get covered in mud, fall in a bog, go swimming in the sea. We had the countryside.
And this was in North Wicklow, and you were happy.
Northwick, very happy, yeah. We grew up and there would have been hard times.
I suppose valued
late 70s, mid 80s, you know, and there wasn't much around. But like, you came home from school, you flung your school bag in a corner and you went out and kicked ball till it got dark, you know. There was great community back then, you know.
And then people got every mod con going. And now they have even more, and the ones that we got excited about have become obsolete, and it's still going.
No, I think the trouble is there's always more. People look at their telephone and they see something else they don't have. But, like, at the end of the day, most of it's just noise and clutter, except for when you really need it. It's just clutter.
And I think with everyone having their own phone, you know, isolation's becoming more common too, you know. When people had less, there was great community. Like, we came from a small village in North Wicklow and we'd have an annual fair and, like, the whole village had torn out, you know.
I was having a chat with Eamon Dunphy earlier. On his landline, because he doesn't have a phone, hard man to track down. Do you wish those days were back, that you didn't have a mobile?
I still know a lot of people that still...
They don't have a mobile and they're happy.
Phone, very happy, yeah.
And it's hard to get them when they're out the route, that's
it. Sometimes it's nice not to be contacted as well, you know.
People thinking that things were much better when they had nothing, I suppose. But then people will look back through rose-tinted glasses and go, ah, it was better in our day.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. It's nostalgia. And, you know, was it better? I mean, we mentioned Rishi Sunak and the fact that he didn't have Sky. When you were growing up, I'm sure you went without. What did you go without?
You see, but those things didn't exist.
Of course.
When I was growing up.
So you didn't
I'm old enough to remember living in Ballinasloe and there were, count 'em, two TV channels.
Two.
No, there weren't.
There was
actually
one.
There was one.
Just the one.
There was one TV channel and I'd sit in the kitchen with my parents while they gawked at Dallas.
So you actually were privileged. You had a TV.
Ah, yeah, it wasn't wealth. Things weren't that bad. Everyone had a TV in those days. But, you know, there'd be bits in Dallas and my mother would go, oh, you shouldn't be watching this. And my mother would try to distract me if JR was
snogging
the face off someone.
I want to rewatch the whole thing. I just think it's so great. I just love it. Yeah. I think it might be on Amazon. The fact that we're spoiled now, we really are. Me, growing up, we didn't have a CD player. And I remember doing something in music class. Which I was embarrassed that I didn't have, it's difficult to admit this, but I was embarrassed that we didn't have a CD player. And we used to have a music library in the school and you could like take out music.
Yeah.
And I used to borrow Pavarotti and it was around the time of, you know, Ness and Dorma and all that kind of Italian 90s stuff. And I used to borrow the CD and I couldn't play it. And my friend said, but Henry, you don't own a CD player. I'm like, shh. I just, you know, I just want everyone to think that I have a CD player.
Yeah. So you were kind of waltzing around school holding it aloft.
I have a CD.
So people could,
I've got this classical CD of Italian opera music, but I couldn't play it. I didn't have a CD player.
Did you beg your parents to get one and did they rebuff you?
We did beg. And in the end, they refused. And I think we swapped a Super Nintendo for a CD player. That's how we had a Super Nintendo. So we did a deal with my brother's friend.
That wasn't that bad.
We got a Sony Ghetto Blaster CD player, which we shared, and we thought we had won the lotto.
Oh, yeah.
We really did.
We only had the local channels, and I remember the excitement when my cousins got Sky TV. We used to go around to theirs and watch Nickelodeon and MTV. Another texter says, did anyone ever chat about Glen Rowe the next day? When it came on, it usually signified there was 30 minutes left to do your homework. Yeah, well, people to this day still have that kind of that Glen Rowe feeling, especially when they hear the theme music to Glen Rowe that the weekend's over and it's back to the grindstone. Steven Spielberg was obsessed with TV and he did all right. People who didn't have a TV always like to tell people that they didn't have one. Yeah,
well,
they suffered.
They did. I mean, I mean, you're right. I mean, it was a choice. It wasn't out of poverty. For many, it was a choice. Perhaps Jessie Buckley, her parents
made that choice.
They did.
Was playing the oboe and whatever.
Clarinet and the piano and all the rest of it and reading. And I think it was a choice for so many families. Obviously, you know, if you go back further, it was because you just couldn't afford the TV. You're right. But anyway, here are some stories.
So I was growing up in the 70s and 80s and without a CD player.
Well, I didn't grow up with Sky.
You didn't have Sky growing up?
No. It would have been at the Den on certain shows on Tuesdays and Thursdays, mostly reruns, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Simpsons at 6 o'clock on Channel 4.
So you just had the six channels?
Just had the... Well, yeah, I think it was six, yeah.
And you were fine? You turned out okay?
I turned out okay. Yeah, so far so good.
Like I was born in Manchester.
So you were born in Manchester. When did you get your first TV?
When I was seven.
And that must have been exciting.
Watched Andy Pandy. Andy Pandy and the Wooden Top Men. Hello, Flower Pot Men. Hello, Weed. I love them. Yeah.
And did you grow up in a privileged household?
Not particularly. At that stage, we were on a council estate in Macclesfield.
So it was tough?
No, it wasn't really.
It was good.
My dad had a good job. I didn't know if it was tough. Maybe it was for my parents. I don't think so. My mother was a housewife at home. My dad worked in the newspaper industry.
So good memories.
Yeah. They're all right. My parents were always arguing.
Andy Pandy. That's a blast in the past. I grew up in Drogheda in the 70s, where we had six TV channels. We used to holiday in Cork, where when they asked how many channels they had, we would say, we have both of them. Well, exactly. And that was for many years. That was the way it was. It was a regional imbalance there. Henry, please ask Netflix to rerun Dallas. Netflix will get straight on it as soon as Henry asks them. Growing up, I had the so-called poverty channels. Just as well, Father Ted was on RTE too. No CD player, says this person. My parents still think CDs are cutting-edge technology. Which I suppose they are, in a way. Really?
Oh, completely. I mean, yeah. Like that. I mean, I was so slow to get streaming on my phone. I missed out on the whole iPod thing because I was so late getting the CD. Never had an iPod, never illegally downloaded. I just went from CDs to streaming on my phone.
Okay, just to, a Apple leap Music of technology. And then Spotify. I remember coming home from school and the TV man was putting in a colour telly. And we were so excited to see Annie from Emmerdale pouring tea into blue and white cups. Now, you'd probably be too young to remember this, but there used to be a thing in, and it was a real West of Ireland thing, that people would have a black and white TV.
Yes.
But somebody was selling these things. You'd put this kind of blue film over the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And no one, I could never figure out why people did this.
I've seen them in elderly ladies' houses in rural Ireland. I never knew what they were for.
You see, and they probably wouldn't tell you either because you'd hear, well, it gave a bit of colour to the black and white picture was one explanation.
Oh.
Another was that there was this fear that the screen would give you cancer.
I thought it was to protect the screen, no?
Yeah, and well, that's maybe another one as well. Because I protect it from what exactly? No, like, people aren't swinging hammers at it or anything like that. Not that the blue
damage.
Screen would do any make any difference to it. If anyone knows what they were for, be interested to hear.
They could tell us.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, on that, we speak to Gwen Layden. She joins us now from Georgia Street Arcade. She's 54 years of age.
When I was about 5 or 6, I remember that you'd have the bridges crossed on the television until about 6 o'clock in the day. And then the news would come on and your father would watch the news and you would sit quietly and look at him watching the news. Then we got a bit older and the TV would be on earlier in the day and Len Rowe would come on a Sunday evening and everybody in a family would watch Len Rowe. Then at that same time, MTV USA came and that was such a thrill and everybody would gather in our house to watch 3 hours of music videos from America and that was great. So we had one phone and there was 4 of us children and I remember it would be quite a big deal. Making a trunk call would be something you'd have to think about. And price-wise, my sister used to ring the horoscopes to see if her boyfriend was going to break it off with her. And there'd be holy war at the phone bill when my mother would see the phone bill. And Mystic Meg, I think she used to phone in the Sunday World, had a phone number that she'd ring. That was the one phone in the house. So my poor sister got caught red-handed. And now, people, I have 4 teenagers. They all have a phone. I wouldn't know who they're ringing or who they're contacting. Because the phone was in a central area, we all knew what each other were doing back in the 70s and 80s. And now nobody knows what anybody else in the family is doing. I would think that my older children didn't get a phone until they were kind of, you know, quite old. And my younger two got phones younger and they're all now in their kind of 20s. And I would say the phone and social media has a huge effect. And it's all about, you know, I suppose getting attention. Whereas years ago, you were allowed to make a complete fool of yourself and nobody knew about it. It was wonderful. And are we more informed because of all the media coming into the house? I think not, because I think we only get the dramatic bad news and we only get the bad news stories, say, from America or from anywhere. And I don't know that we're as informed because I think that RTE gave a good round balanced news and we read the Irish Times. And the Irish Times is the definitive article, as they say. Humans are humans. And they're as good today as they were 50 years ago. Media, social media, what we eat, what we drink does not change how humans are. Humans are the same as they ever were. There's every type of human today in Dublin, in the arcade, every age, and there always was. So I think that is something that is unchanging.
Okay, Gwen went into quite philosophical territory there. Growing up in Cork in the 80s, we only had one channel for most of my adolescence. I remember gathering around my aunt's telly the day RTE2 was launched. The excitement. No EastEnders, just Glen Rowe and Bosco. Fidelma wearing the face off Miley in the hayshed and the hushed talk of the village for weeks. Pure filth. It was indeed. I remember my grandmother having a television that you had to put money in it or it would switch off.
Money in the TV. I only experienced one of them once.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, really quickly on that, Diana died. I was in Gran Canaria and I had to feed a TV with pesetas to watch the funeral.
Wow, that's interesting, because you'd see those in airports sometimes, or years ago you'd see them in
airports. Apartment. It was a coin one.
Wow. To have MTV in Donegal, the 80s was amazing for us kids. To have MTV Headbangers Ball on Sunday nights, the triple thrash treated like the internet of its day for us kids. And this was supplemented by the tape trading metal tapes around the world. Sepultura and Brazil, Cannibal Corpse, blah, blah, blah. Amazing. Don't tell too many, but still love all the stuff at 50. Well, you know, good for you. But I suppose in Donegal, you were kind of up at the border. So you were getting the British channels as well. That was that was the big advantage there. We used to have a TV in the 80s with the TV remote control attached by a cable to the TV set.
A cable.
That used to be a thing, yeah. That was because, I don't know, if they hadn't figured out the technology
of
for
course.
Remote controls.
And that's the thing with remotes. I mean, you know, lots of TVs at the beginning, obviously they didn't have them. They might have had a wire or nothing. They might have just had a human, a boy. Here is Barry.
So growing up, it was one TV channel, RTE1.
That
in,
was it.
In black and white. And we felt quite privileged. We were doing well having the one. When the second channel came along, we didn't have a remote. My job as the youngest was to go up and manually to change the TV. So I was the remote.
So you were the physical child remote. How old were you?
Well, I suppose about 10.
And you felt privileged with just the one channel?
Yeah, we were great.
And you used to watch The Late Late Show?
Oh, if I was lucky.
If you were lucky
to
stay
up. If I was lucky, it was Wanderly Wagon.
So you loved Wanderly Wagon growing up. And for you, you were a privileged family. You had a TV. So many didn't have TV. They didn't have anything.
Well, indeed. But soon after that, everybody had TVs, you know, so it was fine.
And the remote, when did you get an actual real remote? How many years did you have to wait for that?
Oh, that was many years after. But the arrival of the colour TV was a big event in itself. But the thing of having one channel is that when you talk to your friends the following day, did you see TV last night? Because everybody watched the same thing.
And you could have a conversation. Now it's so fractured with all the streamers.
Well, yeah. Well, I hardly watch live TV anymore, you know?
Yeah, that was the thing. There was no point in having a remote control if there was only one channel, because you weren't going to change the channel anyway. That was the point. I wonder how many people would sacrifice all the channels for to be able to survive and buy a house on one wage again. Now, that would be interesting. That's an interesting question,
good
all right.
Point.
I remember when we used to watch television as a family, and we were a family of 6 girls, 2 boys. And before Dallas, things were okay. But after Dallas, my father used to get up and half walk out of the room saying, "I'm not sitting here with all of you watching that lot getting in and out of bed with each other." Yes.
But he still watched.
And imagine, the thing is, like, Dallas was so tame. I would be so considered so tame now and completely camp. We didn't have a TV, though we used to borrow one for big events like the Olympics. One occasion, the TV inspector arrived back smack in the middle of the Olympics. We all laughed today about how my mom set about trying to convince the inspector we didn't have one. She always managed, though. We had to hide it behind the couch. We were financially challenged, though I don't think we suffered from no TV, as spent most of our time playing out in the street, as children used to do. I'm 70, and when I was a kid in the early 80s, there was only one family on the street with a television, and I remember going there on a Saturday evening to watch cartoons on ITV. But we would always go early because wrestling was on World of Sport. And I remember the plummy voice of the man reading out the football results all on ITV. The screens had springs, says a texter, to hold the back of the TV and were to magnifying the screen. Worked badly, but attracted loads of dust. And had a scratchy surface loved by kids. The Comet pub near DCU in Glasnevin advertised the first colour TV in Ireland. So my dad stuck me on his crossbar and we watched Bonanza with a green desert and a blue painted sky. I was born in 1964. First programme, Wanderly Wagon at 5 p.m.-ish after our baths with mashed banana sambos and our fire lighting was a higher light. In rural Wexford, colour TV was not there until I was 18, along with the channels. I remember the blue screen in the 70s. It reduced the snowiness in areas with bad TV reception. Yet another explanation as to, well, actually, those jokes were for. Remember when you used to rent the TV for £3 a week and receive a free Tefal toaster? Found an old Sunday World when spring cleaning recently. That was, people would rent their televisions because they were prohibitively expensive back in the day. Years ago, my father used to say, turn off that TV and don't be wasting it, as there would be nothing left to watch later on if we watched it all in one go. Someone else says, I grew up in South Africa. We had a black and white TV until the 80s when we were treated to a colour telly. We had one channel which started at 6 p.m. on Monday, Wednesday and Friday from 6 to 9 p.m. It was broadcast in English. And then the other days it was broadcast in Afrikaans. And if you wanted to watch in English, you had to tune the radio in, which would give the English version. And yes, we were a right privileged family growing up in apartheid South Africa. That's interesting. Because I think in, I don't know if they still do it now in Iceland, they just have no telly at all on a Thursday or something.
They all take the day off.
Random like that, yeah. I grew up on the border. We had one antenna on the roof for RTE, one up in the hill for BBC's and the other TV channels. We used to have two TVs, one with a picture and no sound, and the other with sound and no picture. One on, sat on top of the other. That was a very innovative approach to the problem. Of course, there were, like, I can remember when VHSs came in, and, yes, like, that was suddenly a huge thing.
It was huge. And I remember my brother, I think, saved up and bought one for the family, the VHS, and he used to keep it in his room. And it was so exciting to go to the video store to choose something on VHS. And we were actually having a clear out just yesterday, and I came across a VHS tape. I don't know what's on it, so I might lend it to someone
who still has a VHS player.
He does, and get him to check it out. But anyway, it was extremely hard for people, as you just read out there. Here is John.
Growing up, could you live without TV? You know, you managed to get by without a mobile. Any kind of mod cons you went without back then?
We didn't. We had cassette players, we had radios, black and white TVs. We didn't have CD players, didn't have DVD, didn't have playback. Didn't have the ability to record anything that was on TV. Barely had the ability to record what was on the radio.
So no VHS?
No, VHS came out, would have been the 80s, so I'm afraid I was born in the 70s.
You just had to make do?
Just had to make do. It was what it was, you know.
And can you understand why some people are choosing not to have a TV? My wife, for example, grew up without a TV, a choice. Jesse Buckley grew up without a TV.
I can understand it, but I think you have to have it to be able to make that choice to reject it. It's one thing choosing to deliberately not have it, as opposed to not having had the option to have it in the first place. Where people have the ability to reject modern technology, that's on the basis that they have the technology to reject in the first place. In the 70s in Ireland, we didn't have technology. I mean, I can still remember horse and carts going down the road. I can remember black and white TV. We didn't have any of that. If we had had it, we would have used it, because that was the way it was.
Alex, you didn't have a dishwasher growing up. How come? Was it because they were expensive? Did your parents just want to wash the knives and forks and the plates by hand?
They were very expensive.
They were dear, weren't they?
Yeah, no one had one at the time, except for pubs and hotels, but no households.
And this is in the 70s?
It was in the 70s, 80s.
So just the rich people had them?
Just the rich, yeah.
So when you got a dishwasher, did it change your life? Did it help? When did you get your first dishwasher?
Would have been, I'd say, 80s, early 80s.
And did you feel rich then?
Yeah, because I didn't have to do the dishes.
And are you any good at loading the dishwasher, or are you like me, you just pile it high?
Pile them in and leave some forks and knives upside down.
Hope for the best.
And that, yeah.
You're from Wales. What did you not have growing up?
CD player.
So it was just record and cassette tape?
Yeah.
And back in the 80s, CD players were expensive, weren't they? And if you had a stacking system and you wanted to have a CD part, that could be an extra £100.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. I was in my teenage years, I think, before I got a CD player, yeah.
And how did it feel when you got your first CD player?
Really good, because you didn't have to stop and play and, like, wind the tape. Yeah, or record music off the radio, it was good, yeah.
And what did you go without growing up? What sort of material, electrical goods did you not have? Or were you very wealthy? Did you have everything?
Not a lot. I was spoiled.
You were spoiled?
Yeah.
So did you have a Game Boy?
Yes.
Did you have a Commodore 64?
BBC.
You had a BBC Micro?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So you were wealthy.
Ish.
Spoiled.
Spoiled.
Yes, very, very spoiled.
I was happy with my set of encyclopedias. I saw other kids with other toys, but I wasn't too bothered about it.
So you had encyclopedias, the original Google.
World Book.
All the information. If you wanted to win an argument, you had to look inside.
There were too many Z's in it. We didn't have Britannica, but I didn't know it at the time, and it was great, and I won most arguments.
There you go. Just going back to the thing about the remote control, I was also the human remote, but our TV that worked when your finger touched a contact, the plate was a bit worn, and I would get an electric shock. My dad painted my man's nail polish to stop the shock. My big brother would use a remover to take it off, would order me to change it. I can still feel the pain.
Ouch.
Ooh. We had a coloured screen to put on the black and white TV and pretend it was colour. Maybe that's what those blue yolks were for. I was also the human... Oh, no, I read the one already. We went on a family trip to Galway in the mid-70s. Us bored, single, digit-aid kids couldn't wait to get to our destination so we could watch TV. The horror we discovered that the rural place we were staying had a black and white television with just RTE1. I remember going outside and giving the TV aerial a kick. It is all television-related stories. I remember my mum not having a washing machine, and her poor arthritic hands are testament not being a false memory. Well, indeed, that's a very good point. Well made. Imagine our kids give out about not having their own iPads. And someone said, named a pub saying it was the first pub in Ireland that had colour TV. Someone else is texting in now to say it was the Cuckoo's Nest in Greenhills had the first pub colour TV. We went to my auntie's house to see Top of the Pops because we had no TV. She'd have us dancing with Pam's People, who were very risque back then. It's hilarious now. Old TVs used valves, so they blew up regularly if you left them on too long. That's true, and it would take them a while, a bit like the valve radios. It would take a little while for them to kind of heat up and get working. I also thought my uncle in my nana's house was just being incredibly mean when we would visit on a Sunday, as their telly was in black and white. I thought he changed it to when we were coming up and would change it back when we were leaving. I'd spend ages walking backwards to see when he would turn back on the colour. Back in the 80s, our friends had a Sonic TV remote control, which worked fine, except if the dog whimpered, it would also change the channel. It was funny for a while. You could see why it was, yeah. I thought we were the only family in Dublin to have two TVs, one with picture and the other one with sound. Well, there you go. you weren't, it turns out. I worked in the TV repair business in the late 70s and 80s. The most requests for urgent TV repairs were to see Bosco and the news. And somebody else says in a similar vein, my grandparents' TV only got turned on for the news and the Dublin Horse Show and would fade after a couple of hours. On one occasion, they turned it on for the news as normal and nothing. It seems the middle child had been watching TV earlier. He didn't put his hand up to that crime. Oh, God, you could actually wear them out. Well, that's desperate. Henry, thanks a million as ever. Henry McKean there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.